HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Welcome to the HRHeadquarters.ie podcast, and today I'm delighted to be joined by Maura Dunn of BeProductive.ie. Maura, you're very welcome.
Hi Declan, delighted to be here. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good now, all things considered. What about yourself?
Good, yeah, absolutely. Keeping busy and focused, I think that's the trick in these times, isn't it?
Perfect lead in of stuff I'm going to ask you about, like the lovely things like focus. I think what would be really useful, Maura, just to start us off, is maybe just tell us a little bit about yourself and BeProductive and what you guys do.
Yeah, so BeProductive.ie is the name of my business. It's productivity consultancy. So we basically work with people to help them be productive. And what that means in a nutshell is working with individuals, with teams, with organizations to help them get more from their time, more from the effort that they put in their work lives, and to help them get the most done in that time. So we work with people with training courses. We did a lot of seminars in the past. They've all shifted to webinars now, obviously. And we do productivity coaching as well. So one-on-one coaching programs with individuals.
Brilliant. And it's interesting, obviously, when we're recording this, we're just hopefully coming near the end of COVID-19 restrictions. How has that changed? I mean, you've alluded to it there. How has that changed how you do business? And indeed, maybe has it changed some of the content that you talk to your clients about?
Yeah, yes and no, really. I mean, probably about 90% of my work was out and about in companies before the restrictions. So for the first week or so, everything came to a screeching halt. It's interesting. I was kind of thinking, oh yeah, I had started doing a lot of work online with the productivity coaching. So I was kind of up and running for that. But I was thinking, oh, I need to get all my training courses online and kind of building it up to be a big thing in my head in those early
days.
I was watching the 9 o'clock news and they were interviewing people who were really finding it hard to be productive working at home when they were used to being in the office. And I thought, I've so much material, sure, I can really help people out. So I started doing early morning Zoom sessions to help people get focused for their day a few times a week. And that kind of got me up and running. Brilliant. And people really responded to that. It also showed me the topics that people needed help with. So it helped me to kind of redesign my material to focus it around helping people be productive at home. So I started delivering a lot of webinars around that and training sessions. So it was really taking, I suppose, my current approach and my current material and just reshaping it for what people needed right at this moment, sure, in time.
Brilliant. And what were the topics that maybe you were surprised by, or you know, what was the appetite in terms of people who were working from home, or what had changed?
Yeah, it really varied because people are in all different circumstances. Like some people are in very busy houses with lots of other family members, could be older, you know, adult children who are all working at home, everybody gathered around the kitchen table trying, yeah, to use the Wi-Fi. Or then you have the other scenario where people maybe have very small children that they have to mind and try and get some work done. So the issues were a lot around finding the best hours in the day for you to work, because that was going to be different depending on the circumstances. So, you know, some people were starting very early in the morning to get a couple of hours done while the house was quiet before everybody woke up, and then they'd break away to do homeschooling or child minding and then come back and do some hours later. So that whole idea of time blocking rather than starting at 9 and finishing at 5, you know,
yeah,
so just really looking at things differently and saying, how can I maximize my time? And it may not be in the traditional working day. So that was one of the key things. And then just the ability to be able to focus, sure, because there's a whole different set of circumstances. And also then people have this kind of underlying low level activity constantly, I think, at the moment because of all the uncertainty.
Yeah.
So that has a big impact on your ability to stay focused as well, because it can be very distracting.
Yeah.
So just a lot of tips around all of that, really, people responded to very well.
Excellent, excellent. I know the right to disconnect is a very popular thing at the moment, and what you were mentioning there about that sort of low levels of activity that are constantly on, do you think organisations are doing enough, or from what you were seeing, could they do more?
It really varies, Declan, because as we know, organisations really vary, you know, so some obviously some organizations were very well placed to suddenly have everybody working from home. And then maybe some more traditional organizations found that transition harder. But most organizations really got on with it with remarkable speed and got everybody set up and everybody connected. So I think most companies have done really well with it, in fairness.
Yeah, I agree.
I think as time has gone on, companies have realized we need to put some boundaries on it, because initially I think it was a case of get everyone connected, get everybody working. Then a lot of people were finding they're more productive at home, because obviously you've got a lot of the office distractions have been removed. And then maybe sometimes people were doing too much work and working longer hours. And initially I think organizations thought, this is great, I'm getting more productivity from my people. But of course that's not sustainable, because people are going to burn out. And, you know, as I say to people, if you work late and do a couple of hours late in the evening, as well as having worked all day, you might be productive for those couple of hours, but you're kind of stealing your productivity from the next day, because it's going to kick in the next day. You're going to feel tired, or the day after. So it's not really sustainable. So I think in the last maybe month or so, as organizations see this over the longer term, they're saying, okay, maybe now we need to put some boundaries in place and just communicate a policy to say how we feel about it after hours and you know, put some boundaries around it. And that's
I think there's there seems to be a lot of work being done in that area at the moment, and I know there's going to be some legislation coming out as well, I would imagine, later this year. Okay, so if someone's listening to this podcast and they are super pumped to get more productive in their life, in their professional life, in their personal life, what are the big hitters? What are the things that can really make a difference to people that they can change how they're doing something or start doing something new in terms of boosting that productivity?
Yeah, well, I suppose a specific tip for working at home is looking at trying to separate your personal life from your work life. So, you know, currently things can be very blurred. So you might be, you know, sitting having your breakfast and then 2 minutes later you're trying to solve a big work problem in a meeting, you know, because it's all just so close together. So, what I've been advising people to do is kind of try and recreate your commute to work. So obviously one of the benefits is you don't have to commute, we don't have traffic, but commuting actually gives you that time to shift your mindset into work mode and to park what's in your head from your home life. So even just to go for a walk around the block every morning and make that your routine, and even if it's only 5 or 10 minutes, that you kind of separate your personal life into your, and you move into your work mode. And it gives you that time to kind of plan your day and just be ready then to hit the ground running when you sit at your desk. And then equally at the end of the day, to do something to transition as well, to kind of just get all the work things out of your head and try and be more then available in your head for your family or your friends or whatever you're going to do after work. So commuting to work and commuting away from work. So trying to build some activities that for you kind of signify that's the end of my work day now. I'm going to go and do something, and, you know, to try and kind of have that discipline. So that really helps with your mindset. That's the big one for working at home.
Very good. Yeah. I mean, it is quite interesting. I always, you know, that drive to and from work for me is exactly what you were talking about. So it's something I've probably failed to replicate when working from home. That's really interesting. And I presume the principles just of being productive are unchanged, albeit they're just in a new environment. What would be the sort of things that you would suggest to people?
The key things, as you say, Declan, the key productivity principles still apply. So, you know, it's really about, I suppose, each week making sure you have some key objectives or priorities. So being clear about what the top things are that you want to get done no matter what happens in your week. And then trying to plan out that week as much as possible. And then, you know, for each kind of time block in your day, say, okay, I'm going to try and get that task done. So then if other things crop up, you can, you know, reprioritize based on the new piece of work that's arrived. Sure. So, you know, rather than drifting through your day and just responding to everything that comes at you, trying to take some control over your time. You don't want to max out that plan either, because you need to have time to be responsive to the things that you need to respond to.
Sure.
But just to have a loose plan for the day makes it easier for you to stay on track then, particularly as things change throughout the day. And then the big one about distractions, so trying to identify anything that's a distraction for you, and then look at the things you can do something about, some things you can't, but things like technology notifications, your phone, that type of thing, you know, just try and take control of that and put it to one side, even leave it in another room when you're working at home can be really effective, out of sight, out of mind, you know, even if it's only half an hour or an hour, you'd be amazed how it really increases your ability to focus and get really engrossed in your work. Yeah. So it's kind of trying to just be in control of your time. And if you find you're not, try and stop and analyze what it is that's stopping you getting the things done that you feel you should be doing.
Yeah, really interesting. And again, for the benefit of anyone listening, I've had more in working with some of my teams over the probably longer than 6 months ago. But one of the things, or one of the really interesting things that came out about as a part of those workshops was just how much distractions during the day played a part in people not being productive. And the way my team, or one of my teams described it at the time, was desk drops, i.e. someone just dropping by your desk to ask you a question, or just to, you know, on their way to the kettle. It could be that simple. But I think they identified that as the biggest barrier to you know, focus, if you like. Focus is an interesting word to me. I think, actually, let me ask you a different question first, more before I get to that. In your head, what's the difference between being productive and being a good time manager?
Yeah, so I suppose the time management skills that we would have learned over the years are around, you know, having priorities, making plans. You know, and years ago, the people who were good at those time management skills, you know, were very effective and productive throughout the day. But then I think the workplace has changed a lot, so that there's so much communication that the potential for distraction throughout the day is huge. And then also, as you've mentioned, up to the restrictions, we were working largely in open plan offices where we had that whole desk drop thing going on. So workplaces changed hugely in recent years. So the traditional time management skills kind of weren't enough. So they're the building blocks, being able to, you know, be clear about your work, prioritize, plan your week, etc. But then I think people find that their day, things change so much throughout the day. And so therefore it's very hard to keep on track with those plans. So being productive for me is about having that awareness and, you know, really looking at your time, looking at what you have to get done, looking at the time you have to do it, and trying to really protect your time to make sure you can get those high priority things done. And then being really tuned in to where your time is going. So looking at, you know, knowing that you get caught up in activities that maybe aren't the highest priority, and being able to spot that, and then saying, okay, I need to reevaluate and do something about that. So I think it's been very kind of almost mindful and tuned into where your time is going, and being able to identify the distractors and the things that end up wasting your time. Absolutely. So having the ability to reprioritize throughout the day, no matter how many times you need to, you know, being flexible, being able to pivot. So I think all those tools really help you be productive, on top of the time management skills, which give you the basic plans and the basic priorities.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. In terms of focus, so I mean, if you have, and I know you're a big proponent of diarizing, you know, the pieces of work, so you've set aside that time to focus on them. Is there any tips or tactics you use to get over? You know, sometimes we put something in our diary, we want to do this piece of work. It's, you know, we've set aside, you know, an hour or 2 hours a day, whatever it might be. I can be very guilty of procrastination. Is there any tactics, tips you have in terms of when that time arrives, just to immerse yourself in that activity, or does it just go back to the basics?
Yeah, there's a few things. It kind of, again, it's about kind of asking yourself, why am I procrastinating? So is it because I don't like it, it's boring, or maybe it's hard, or maybe I can't think of how to get started? So it might be a task, it might be one of the bigger things that maybe is more challenging, and it's actually still too vague. You know, you just have, okay, I'll work on project X for an hour, but that doesn't tell you the first thing to do. So often just breaking it down and saying, okay, what's the first action? What's the first thing I need to do? And that might even be email someone to get further information so that you can move forward. And by doing the first thing, it can help you then, because that gets you going, and then you think, okay, I'll do the next thing, you know. So even just breaking down a bigger piece of work into, well, what are the actual pieces of work that need to be done? What are the actions? What can I do today? What can I do later? You know, so that can get you started. You may need more information from someone else as well to define a problem. If it's something you just kind of find boring and you don't want to do, it's kind of, it can be really useful to break it down maybe into even shorter time blocks and say, okay, I'll do 15 minutes or I'll do half an hour and then I'll take a break. And then, you know, I'll come back and I'll do another. So that kind of time blocking approach, where you kind of get a shorter time block and match it to a couple of things. So progress you want to make by the end of the half an hour. And that helps you stay focused. And then, you know, kind of have the coffee or the break or whatever it is that's going to reward you for that. And a lot of times it is almost about tricking our brains to do the things that we know we should be doing, but sometimes we just don't feel motivated to do them. So I think for everyone, they'll have different ways around that. And sometimes, again, if you find you're procrastinating, it may be that you're trying to do the wrong piece of work at the wrong time. So by that, I mean, you know, it's useful to be aware of when are your high focus hours. So for people that will differ, you know, for some people it's first thing in the morning, you can really get into the zone with something and really take on very difficult, challenging work. Whereas other people like to do lots of small tasks in the morning to try and get themselves up and running. And it might be later in the day that they can then get engrossed in the deeper tasks. So matching your tasks to your energy level and your ability to focus. And again, if you're going to achieve high productivity, it's learning that about yourself as well. And looking at your own day and, you know, when do I focus best? When do I generally get distracted? When do I procrastinate? Yeah. You know, and then if you have a time in the day when you know that your focus is lower, for a lot of people, it's as the day goes on and you get tired, then maybe leave the low focus tasks till that time. And then, you know, you can still get them done. So there might be a lot of email replies or emails that you need to send or setting up meetings or whatever. They're not that challenging, those tasks. So leave them till later in the day when maybe you're tired or there might be more noise around your house, but you kind of only have to half concentrate to get those things done. And then try and plan to do the big things maybe early on in the day when your ability to focus is better. So again, it's taking control of the day and not just kind of doing whatever crops up. Saying this is the best time to do that, you know, and you might only be able to control a certain couple of hours in your day, but if you can, then that's really valuable.
That's some really, really good stuff there. Thanks, Moira. And more technology, does it make us more productive or is it a hindrance?
Again, it's about, I suppose, controlling it and it not controlling you.
Okay.
So obviously there's fabulous productivity tools. You know, there's so much technology that if we use it right, I suppose it can really help our productivity. The big thing with technology is that each piece of technology comes with notifications, which potentially are distractions. So again, it's about every piece that you use saying, okay, you know, do I want the notifications to alert me? Are they important enough to interrupt when I'm working on something else? So just be aware that everything you download, the default is that the notifications are on. So it's taking control and switching them off if that's what you need to do. I'm always looking for tips from other people around technology. So rather than trying to figure out yourself and test out all the different apps and everything, you know, just find out what people are using and get tips from them. So, because you could spend all your time trying out new pieces of productivity and waste your time on it. So, but yeah.
What are your favorite ones? Sorry.
I suppose there's things like, you know, Trello and Slack, I think are fantastic. And particularly Slack, a lot of teams are using it now for managing projects. Trello is the one for managing projects. So, you know, looking at the tools that can help teams stay on track. Something like that means that, you know, the notifications and the updates in relation to a project just go to the people who are involved in it. So it potentially helps you reduce the number of emails that have to fly over and back within a team. So, you know, the tools like that are fantastic. I've got some information on my website on apps if people want to look it up there as well. So, yeah, that would be a whole other podcast, Declan.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, this stuff fascinates me, so maybe we can do that. Yeah. And obviously we'll link all your website and stuff at the end of this. You touched on something earlier I just want to come back to. It was around sustaining high levels of productivity. Is that possible? What's the natural ebb and flow, or is there one?
Yeah, no, ebb and flow is a really good way to describe it. And there is a natural ebb and flow. And I think to expect to be super productive all day, every day, isn't realistic. And particularly now as well, you know, as I said, working at home and with all the concerns and uncertainties, you know, people are going to have times when they're just not feeling productive. Again, it's really good to kind of be able to spot it and call it out as soon as you see that happening. And sometimes it is around switching up, you know, and taking a break or trying to refresh yourself to get back to it. I saw somebody present one time, they were talking about how it's almost like, you know, we work in sprints like an athlete would. So an athlete, if they're training, they train hard, then they refuel, then they rest, then they go and train hard again. So it's like the ebb and flow, the peaks and troughs. So if you even look at your work day like that, you know, you might have an intense couple of hours, you might have had a heavy meeting, you know, it's probably unrealistic to expect to go straight into being super productive on something straight after that. So, you know, looking at your breaks yourself, you're refreshing, you're refueling throughout the day. And again, being strategic about that. And if you just find your focus isn't there, your energy is low, take that 5 or 10 minutes, take the break, refresh, refuel, and then come back and choose the task that you think is going to suit your productivity best, you know? So I think if people are having a couple of really good productive hours in a day, that's great, you know? But the key thing is to use those hours for your most important tasks.
A really good tip. You've touched on something there that's sort of fascinating me at the moment, that idea of, well, I guess, a more holistic approach to high performance. You know, what impact does stuff like sleep, hydration, nutrition, exercise have on productivity? I presume there's a direct correlation if you're...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because it really is, productivity is very much around, as we've said, your ability to focus. And what impacts that are your energy levels. And what impacts that is the refueling and, you know, what you're eating, what you're drinking, and also the breaks, you know, because you do need to, you could have 3 or 4 hours of productivity. If you don't take a break, you might get lots done, but then it's going to kick in later in the day. You're going to find it hard to stay on track. So sometimes you almost even have to plan in the breaks so that you make sure that you do kind of refresh throughout the day so that you can maybe sustain your productivity over a longer period of time. But yeah, definitely looking at fuel. Then also that whole idea about refreshing in the evenings and switching off is really important as well, because as I said before, it impacts the next day. So having the boundaries is really important. And when we're working at home, you know, it's not so much even that there might be expectations from the office that we do something out of our hours, but we kind of can do it ourselves as well. Because sometimes you see your laptop in the evening, or I'll just check, I'll just do that quick email. And before you know it, you're drifting into work mode. So, you know, even at home, we almost have to be more disciplined about it.
Yeah, sure.
If you can have your workspace out of sight then in the evenings, that's great. But I know everybody doesn't have the luxury of the perfect office in the perfect space in their house, you know, because we're all just trying to make do. But as much as possible, try and put the devices away in the evening, and that helps you switch off and refresh. And then it means you're more likely to have a productive day the next day.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm feeling guilty now for my messy attic conversion office right now. Good segue though. I mean, does the physical environment play a huge part in terms of productivity? I get what you're saying about switching off and you know, out of sight, out of mind almost in the evening. But in terms of your actual productivity during the day, physical environment?
Definitely, you know, if you can have a separate space, that's great. But as I said, I know everyone doesn't have the luxury of that because their house might be very busy. But if you can, it kind of really helps as well with that whole commuting in the morning, that you go to that space. And then when you sit down at that desk, you kind of get into work mode. So even if it is a corner of a room that you have to kind of disassemble then in the evening, but that you have some space that is your workspace, and maximize that as much as possible. Having an attic obviously is fantastic because it means that you're away from the rest of the activities in the house, which is good.
Sure.
So yeah, whatever you can do to maximize your workspace. I think people have come up with all sorts of creative solutions.
Yeah.
I was training a few weeks ago and a guy was working out in his greenhouse in the garden, which was working fantastic until his kids came out and got the spray hose and started hosing. So but I think people are working in sheds and garages and everything.
Yeah.
You know, I saw some woman, she's got a huge big a big car, and she had kind of set up there for doing her Zoom calls in her car, you know. So okay. I think the main point is being able to get away from the other activity and trying to get some kind of quiet and ability to tune in and focus as well, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
and I think you're right. I mean, there's a whole different bandwidth in terms of what people are operating within at the moment. I know there's people in, you know, one bed apartments and two people living there and at the kitchen table all day, you know, so it's probably less easy for them. But I do take your point about being able to put the stuff away almost at the end of the day. Are you a believer in messy desk, sort of messy mind in terms of the actual area that the person is working, or is that just a nice thing to say?
Well, I suppose everyone has their own style, and some people can work in very messy environments and it works for them. I'd probably try and go for the minimalist approach, you know, just to kind of have that kind of feeling of space, I think, on your desk probably gives you a feeling of space in your mind. So, as much as possible, I suppose, as well, if things are organized, it's going to be easier to find things and retrieve them. You don't want to waste time looking for things. So just having an organized system really helps. But also things like, you know, thinking of space, like I've made up this kind of productivity wall in the background here, which kind of gives you space to brainstorm and put ideas up. And, you know, so having a bit of creativity as well is useful. So if you can give yourself a board or a space where you can hang things up, reminders, whatever it is, you know, so being as innovative and as creative as you can be within the space that you're in will really help as well. And then also even working at home, sometimes I go off out for a walk or even go down. I'm lucky I'm near the estuary here where I live, bring a notebook and a pen and do a bit of brainstorming myself just out in the open space. I find it really helps creativity and thinking up new ideas and plans as well. So sometimes because we're in the house, it closes down our thinking because we're kind of restrained. So again, just to tune in to what's working for you and what isn't. And if you feel kind of a little bit stuck and you're trying to come up with ideas, just change it up, you know, just go out into a different environment, go and grab a coffee outside somewhere now. Places are open back up. So
yeah, absolutely.
be prepared to just, you know, be innovative within your own constraints as well.
Very good, very good. I'm conscious of time, Maura, but I do want to ask you just two more things, if that's okay.
Sure,
and you've been
fine,
very generous with your time this morning. First thing I want to ask, multitasking. That's a myth, right?
Multitasking for our brains is a myth, yeah. So we can obviously physically do things while we're thinking through things, but yeah, we tend to, if we multitask, and we all do it at times, might be answering emails and doing other things as well, we can work very quickly, but it's kind of more superficial. So you're only skimming things really. So obviously if you can try and approach things one thing at a time, you're going to be able to get into it at a deeper level, probably make better decisions and come up with better ideas. So I think for the bigger things, to try and single task. Sometimes we just have to kind of multitask when we've lots of things coming at us. So really you have to respond to what's going on. But as much as possible, try and just focus on one thing at a time.
Very good. And is there anything that organizations can do to help sort of build in, to help their people be more productive? So, you know, I'm talking about systematically build it into, I don't know, whether it's the office space or ways of working or whatever. Is there anything, you know, the organizations can do to encourage it or nudge it?
That's a whole other podcast.
Loads of content there.
There's loads because, you know, productivity needs to be enabled as well by culture, by management styles, by systems, by processes. So there's loads within that. Again, just a quick tip in the current times, what organizations can do is look at, again, you know, the amount of meetings, the amount of time that people spend interacting. You know, are people getting time to get on with the work, or is their day being constantly broken up by meetings? So, you know, at the start of this, the aim was to connect, which was fantastic, yeah. So that people wouldn't feel isolated. But again, now, as we alluded to at the start, things need to settle down, and it's good to look at, well, you know, should we just do meetings in the afternoon so everybody can work on their own in the morning and actually get some work done?
Yeah.
Or vice versa. Or I know some managers I was working with recently, they were saying, we're going to keep Wednesday meeting free. So that's the day that everybody can get on with the bigger chunks of work. So again, for organizations to look at that and to help their people protect their time to get work done, because I think that's where a lot of the stress comes from, where people just, you know, they have to respond to so much of the time in the day that it's really hard to get on with their own work. So again, you know, it's taking control, it's being innovative, it's looking at the work week and saying, what's the best way for us all to interact together, for us to work together? So that's just on the protection of time, but there's lots around processes and systems, etc.
Sure.
Again, it's just looking at where's the time getting lost and what could we do more efficiently? So what can we improve?
Yep.
So having that, it's really a continuous improvement mindset, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Brilliant. One last thing I'm sneakily sticking an
oh,
extra thing
fine.
In. If you know, obviously, hopefully we'll have lots of people listening to this. What's the one thing you'd encourage people to do in terms of boosting their productivity when you haven't seen how they operate or what organization they're in or all that? What's that one thing that most people can benefit from?
Probably the quickest win is taking control of the phone and
okay.
Putting it on mute, or, you know, putting it out of sight when you're trying to get your work done at home as much as possible. That's probably the quickest win in a short answer.
Brilliant. No, that's excellent. And how can people get in contact with you, Maura?
Yeah, so beproductive.ie is our website, and then you can contact us through there. We're also on Twitter, and so we put up tips on Twitter most days and links to a lot of our articles and blogs as well. So all of the topics that we discuss there very briefly, we would have blogs written on them, and, you know, so there's lots more detail there on the website. Also, lots of productivity resources, templates you can download to help you be more productive. So there's plenty there on the website, and also active on LinkedIn and Instagram, Facebook as well. So pretty much all over the place, 3D.
And obviously, we'll link all of that information underneath the podcast. I've had more in work with my teams, and they found it brilliant, and I found her brilliant in terms of what we've just scratched the surface of today.
Yes.
Maura, thank you so much for all your time this morning.
You're welcome.
And hopefully we'll talk to you soon, and maybe even deep dive into one or two of those things where
yeah,
we said that'd be another podcast.
Yeah, well done on the podcast series as well. So good for you for keeping it all going during the current
Brilliant.
Time. Thanks, Declan.
Thanks, Maura. Thank
Bye.
You. Bye.
HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.